Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly. And this afternoon, we have a wonderful returning guest of ours. She is the owner and psychotherapist at Oakley Ogden, LLC from Denver, Colorado. Welcome back to the show, Oakley Ogden. Yay. Well, I want to do the beginning of the show, Oakley, but I want to go ahead and give out our phone number here to the studio in case any of our listeners out there have any questions for you. The phone number for the studio is 631-257-5704. Again, the number is 631-257-5704. Since last week, Oakley, we ended up last week, we were talking about New Year's. We were talking about New Year's resolution, etc. And today we're going to talk basically about, you're going to help us out here with how for the New Year's, as part of our resolution, how we can go ahead and choose love over judgment, which is something we do pretty much all the time. How can we achieve this, Oakley?
So let's come back to the foundations, and I think a lot of people think that the opposite of love is hate. I've heard that a lot. I think maybe that's like a 90s thing, but I don't even know what that means.
Say that.
I just remember learning it in the 90s when that's my age, you know. So and really what the opposite of love is fear. So judgment is a fear-based quality. And it's so easy to judge others and not choose that open-hearted love. And straight to the point, the biggest way to choose love over judgment or any fear-based quality is by first resolving ourselves of our self-judgment. And the more space that we can have to accept who we are and our strengths and our weaknesses, life begins to change around us, and we suddenly have more room for others, including their strengths and their weaknesses. And I think being able to see others in their full picture, everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and by allowing ourselves to acknowledge what our own strengths and weaknesses are and absolving, as I said, ourselves of our own judgment and criticism, which I think at the end of the day is actually harder to do than stop judging someone else. And really getting on board with that self-love journey, it becomes sometimes almost effortless to stop judging others because we become more spacious, our hearts become bigger, we have more room for people's mistakes, we have more room for seeing people as like just really doing the best they can. Because we also get to know ourselves better, and it kind of puts us more on an equal playing ground. And I think ultimately it invites humility into our lives, and humility and compassion are very good friends.
And it's funny that you're saying that, because when you talk about how we need to, basically the amount of judgment that we put on ourselves and being able to accept our strengths and weaknesses. And as you say, that's very, very difficult to do, because I think a lot of the time when we take our aggression, our anger, or whatever it is that we have, our malice out at other people, 9 times out of 10, it's because of the fact that we see something in ourselves that we don't like. And a good way of dealing with that is to basically, you know, to push that upon somebody else, to relocate that anger somewhere else. But for people who are in a situation where they really, really despise themselves, and I mean, this could be brought upon by maybe being in a bad relationship and somebody constantly, you know, beating down on you mentally, and you lost maybe all self-esteem and self-respect, etc. And now you don't like the gorgeous woman who works next to you because she's happily married and her husband loves her or whatever. How can we learn to accept our situations and to learn to love ourselves. Say, for instance, if the odds are stacked up against us. That's so evil mm-hmm. question.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Great, great, great question. We all have to remember throughout the day and every breath that we are responsible for our lives and that we're not victims.
Right.
I think it is so easy to just hang on to a victim energy. And it's victim energy can be so subtle. I really want to tease it apart a little bit, because I think in all of our minds, we have victim as like the victim of domestic abuse, right? There's like physical symptoms, like that's a victim who gets beat up in the street or jumped, or, you know, like these physical signs of victimhood. But we can play the victim in our cubicle. You know, oh, look at her life. Oh, God, she's so beautiful. She has it together. Everything's just handed to her, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, my life isn't like that. Well, let's use that experience as a catalyst to make a change. You know, life is constantly showing us what's important to us and what we don't want to live with, what we refuse to live with. And it's really important to take a minute, really, and let yourself feel it or acknowledge it. But really, it's simpler than that. It's how honest are we willing to be with ourselves? You know, and I have compassion, because it can be very scary to be honest. It can be really scary to say, wow, I'm really unhappy with what I've created and where I am right now. And we can't make any changes, though, unless we acknowledge what is so. So by becoming more authentic with our lives, becoming more clear about what is okay with us and what is not okay with us, and we can use the outside world as a mirror telling us, you know, giving us feedback, you know, minute to minute, really, the clearer we get, the bigger the changes we can make.
Right. And as you say, it's good to be able to see ourselves as not the victim, because we can do that. We can always, you know, look at ourselves and say, oh, I'm the victim. But now you're basically building a little bubble for yourself. And to some people, that's a reason for them to not move forward, because I'm the victim. And they almost like create their own little cell, per se, you know,
yeah,
because they are.
It's like self-perpetuating.
Yes. And that's awful.
It is, and I also want to point out, it doesn't have to be circumstantial. Like, I can almost hear a listener saying, like, well, you don't know my life. You know, I've got 3 kids, I've got a full-time job, my husband is really stressed, like, we're not getting along. Like, look, this is what it is. Like, I can't just say I want to change my circumstances and go start a new life. You know, and that's like what I'm kind of imagining someone could say to this conversation, and because I've heard it before. And remember that just the way we choose to feel each day is also changeable, and we become victim to our own thoughts, which comes back to judging and criticizing ourselves. You know, stop beating yourself up. Why is that serving? How is that serving? Is it? And look, is it motivating us if we beat ourselves up? Like, oh, I'm not good enough. I have to do better. So I'm going to get motivated and like try harder at work. You know, is that how we grow? Or, you know, is there another way? Through self-love and acceptance, you know, which sounds very broad stroke conversation, but I know that every single one of us, I absolutely know for myself that we all have at least one little thing that we do or tell ourselves, you know, on the daily, that we can stop, that we can drop, and we can say, you know what, I'm not going to serve that thought anymore with my attention and my energy, and I'm going to change the tape.
Absolutely. We actually have a caller right now. Hello there, caller. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you? My name's Jack. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hi there, Jack. What's your question for Oakley?
My question for the doctor is, out of nowhere, I've begun to have extreme anxiety where it's impairing my everyday functions. Do you have any suggestions on how to put myself at ease with this?
Yeah, I do. First of all, just to clarify, since we're on radio, I'm not a doctor, but I have but I am a psychotherapist. So okay. Didn't go to med school.
Okay.
Thank you. Be clear. I don't want other of my friends who did go to med school and are doing, you know, different work are like, hey, what the heck?
I understand.
Yeah. So can I ask you a question? When did it come on?
It started coming on the last few months. It just seems like in my everyday life, I seem to experience a lot of anxiety, and it's usually not been that way. And since it just recently started coming on, I was wondering what you can do to help me out with this, or say to help.
Well, what changed in your life? Anything?
Nothing in particular. My relationship has gotten kind of rocky. I've been having a relationship with the girl for about 6 years, and the last several months has been pretty rocky. For a lot of different reasons. There's a few different reasons, but I just sense things have just hit me a little bit differently lately. I just have a lot of anxiety, and it seems overwhelming at times. So if you can give me some advice on how to deal with that, that'd be much appreciated.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so we all struggle with that in our own way. So I want to give you like a really kind of quick fix tool, okay? And this will take you pretty far if you really use it. In the moment that you're feeling anxiety, this is something that I learned from my coach, so I want to, you know, give shout out to that. But in the moment that you're feeling anxiety, that it's really building, I want you to stop, take a breath, and acknowledge in this moment. And are you driving? Are you somewhere you can write something down?
Absolutely.
Okay, so write this down. In this moment, I feel, and anyone who's listening can use this, in this moment, I feel, and then you fill in the word, you name the feeling, right? So instead of pushing it aside or panicking or saying like, oh God, here it comes, right, which just makes it bigger. In this moment, I feel, and in your case, right, anxiety. In this moment, I feel anxiety, and it's perfectly okay. And so you repeat that. It's in this moment I feel anxiety, and it's perfectly okay.
Perfectly okay. Excellent.
It's perfectly okay. I take responsibility for it.
Okay.
Okay. Now this is going to start to train your nervous system. So can you come up with like a scenario? Do you feel anxious right now?
Right now I'm actually pretty good, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen in an hour or so, you know?
Okay, so let's, I know we have to go to commercial break in a minute, right. So let's do this, because this is how quick it can be. I've used this, for years, and I've totally learned to master more of my emotions. I think this should be taught in schools, I'm not even kidding. So come up with allow that anxiety to be present. Whatever you have to think of, just go for it, because it's just a chemical reaction. So whatever thoughts bring it up, just go there. We're going to practice right now.
Okay.
And tell me when you're feeling it in your body, when you're feeling, like, all the sensations.
I'm feeling, I'm envisioning myself on a beach, nice and relaxed, and quite frankly, that's helping already. So maybe that's all I need.
All right. Now, the other thing you can do is you can think about something that makes you anxious, and then practice that, and I really want to see what happens. So if we want to go on commercial and then do that work, I'm fine with that. What do you think, Marielle?
Absolutely. Let's go to commercial, and then let's do that. That sounds like fun.
Great.
Okay.
All right, let's go to commercial right now then, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have you been pondering in your mind that it is time to divorce your present spouse? Then it's time to contact Talitha Stewart, a life after divorce coach. Ask a woman who knows at 302-379-1752. The number again is 302-379-1752. Or go to enlightenedempowermentcoaching.com. Enlightenedempowermentcoaching.com. Talitha Stewart, a life after divorce coach.
Do you have your Facts Life book? The Life Facts book is a comprehensive life facts management system designed to organize and make accessible the facts about your life and those of your household. If you're 55 or older, or are caring for someone who is, then this book is for you. Go to www.factslifebook.com and order your copy for you or your loved one today. Or you can call Mary at 614-208-6094 for more information. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The Facts Life Book.
Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this afternoon we have a wonderful lady with us. She's the owner and psychotherapist from Oakley Ogden LLC. Welcome back, Oakley Ogden.
Oh, dear.
Sorry about that, Oakley. It's my Invisalign. I blame everything on Invisalign.
Oakley Ogden.
Well, this is what happens when you're live. We can't make this stuff up. We actually lost our last caller, but we have another caller on the line here. So let's go to this caller. Hi, caller. What's your name and what's your question for Oakley?
Hi, my name is Mary Cotton, and my question is: I have a daughter who's about 14 years old, and she seems to be very anxious around family lately, especially with the holidays here. And us going around to be, you know, going out to be around family, it's really hard for her. What could I do to comfort her so that she feels at ease?
Beautiful question. When's the last time you've just sat with her and said, how are you? What's going on?
Well, I try to do that frequently, but she's really closed off.
Mm-hmm. With that age group, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, that age group, it's so important to check in and then not say anything, just listen. Hey, I love you. I noticed that you've been anxious around family lately. Is there anything that you want to tell me? And she'll say no. And then you'll say, okay, well, if there is, you know, I'm here for you. You know, and kind of just reflect what you're seeing, but in a really gentle way, and then don't suggest anything. You see, she's trying to figure a lot of stuff out right now, so you don't need to get in there and fix anything, or just let her know that you're there, you're noticing, and that you're available for her if she ever wants to share. And then if she ever comes to you and does share, just listen. And just listening means don't talk.
Oh, I have a habit of doing that.
Yep, I got it right off the bat. So, listen, she's little. Those young kids, they're not going to open up if mom or dad or caretaker or whatever, I mean, you know, me included, like, if we're gabbing away, like, suggesting a million things and, like, well, I get that it could be like this. I know, honey, how are you? Well, what's going on? You know, like, and give them space. Give them space. Right. Hey, sweetie, I noticed this is happening. I'm here if you need to talk to me. And then I'm going to say it again, okay? If she comes to you to talk, you listen. Don't talk back. And say, thank you so much for sharing. I'm so happy that you came to me and shared this. I love you.
Thank you as well. Oh, that was awesome. Thank you so much. I'm going to definitely...
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
That's funny because I keep thinking to myself, oh my God, what are my kids going to be like when they're teens? Because, you know, right now it's great because right now, you know, the only thing they care about is being close to me, being it's like mama, 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 you know, and I'm like, oh my God, stop, stop. But I realize that sometime, maybe, I'm hoping not, but there is that chance that they're going to be all hormonal and craziness is going to start to kick in. And we have to deal with that. What can we do as parents to help children? What can we do to help the children, like the teens? Because they seem to get a bit of a, you know, they seem to be shoved to the side at times. And people seem to forget about the fact that they are at a very awkward age. How can we help them?
They're figuring out a lot of stuff inside. There's so many things changing, obviously, hormonally and mentally. They're trying to figure out who the heck they are in their social groups. They're completely inundated and, like, obsessed with where they fit and where they don't fit. And this is because they're trying to understand who they are as people. So being an example of healthy communication, teaching them about boundaries, asking them questions about their friends, their school. And number one, as I said it, it doesn't change for this answer too, listen. Just be a listening space. These kids who have so much going on, it's love and safety that brings them out to share. I've gone through sessions, full hour sessions, where I barely say a word. And because of that, they feel safe and calm and comfortable to come forward and start to share what's on their mind. And when they do, I don't get up in their face and say, oh my God, yes, and then have you thought of this? I just listen. And I say, yeah, I got that. Okay, I got that. And you know, we have a lot of groundwork to set before they get to the teenage years. So, you know, it starts long before that with education. When children are born, I really invite people to think about them as custodians to the human race and to the planet, and it's our job to educate them. If we think about kids as ours, you know, like that's my kid and, you know, he, she has to do this and grow up and be that, and like I have all these expectations and all this kind of stuff. No, this is a soul that came in through you. There's a contract there to educate, to play out a certain role, to empower this young person to lead the life that's uniquely theirs to lead in this lifetime.
And it's funny because, as you say, it's like we need to basically look at them and realize that they are the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it scares me. It really scares me sometimes because I'm always like, I really hope that from all the things that I hear from everybody around me, from people like yourself, you know, who specialize in you know, in this kind of stuff, I really hope that, you know, for all our listeners out there as well, that we can actually go into this as parents who are going to have kids growing up to be teenagers, that we can basically go in with knowledge so that we can basically make it a good time for them, because that's supposed to be the best time of your life, really, being a teenager. So I'm hoping that we can...
it's hard, but it's fun. You know, and that's the thing. Take responsibility for being a parent. Educate yourself. Look at your own personal development, you know. What can you do to be an example? What can you do to learn to calm yourself, to learn to be healthier in your communications with your spouse or in your own head? You know, it's like you can be an example. And also, I want to fit this in before we have to close today, is I have almost a decade of experience with inner city gang youth. And here I am, this, you know, girl out of Connecticut, right? And here I am now in Manhattan, and I'm working with, you know, these kids from the Bloods and from the Crips. And I started when I was 19 years old, and people ask me, how does this little brown-haired girl like you have such an impact with these huge guys, like leaders of the Bloods in Manhattan, or, you know, the boroughs around there? And I said, because I trust the light inside of them, and I know that inside there's so much wisdom, and I see all these kids as leaders, the ones who get in trouble. My God, you know, you put them in a different environment and they'd be leading Fortune 500 companies, you know. So, yeah, they're selling a ton of drugs and they're making huge profits on the street. Like, those kids are entrepreneurs, you know. like, they don't occur to me as wrong. They don't occur to me as bad. So when I approach them, with a huge amount of, like, clarity, for sure. Like, I'm clear about my boundaries. I'm clear about what worked, what didn't. And this is, of course, in my past, you know, now I have a private practice. But the success that I had was noticed and discussed. And 100% the reason that I was able to make an impact and see transformation, see kids get themselves out of the hood and off the streets and into college, first in their families, is because of what I chose inside of myself, how I chose to see them. And I trusted the light inside of them. And because they were young, they said, oh, my God, if someone trusts the light inside of me, I'm going to trust the light inside of me. So we have to teach our kids how to trust their inner compass. We have to teach our kids how to trust their true north.
and how to find that and test the ground and see if it's right for them so that they're high-functioning people in the world who know what their moral compass is later in life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, that sounds beautiful. And, you know, I really hope that for everyone out there, we can all go ahead and basically take a leaf out of your book there, Oakley, and trust in them and show them that we believe in them. Actually come to the end of our show, ladies and gentlemen, but one more time, our guest this afternoon is the owner and psychotherapist at Oakley Ogden LLC from Denver, Colorado. Please go and visit her website, which is www.oakleyogden.com. Email her at oakley@oakleyogden.com and give her a buzz at 720-663-9056. Again, pleasure as always, Oakley. Thank you so very much for being on our show today. And I'm so glad we managed to, you know, get that second part of our little thing that we had from last week about resolution.
Thank you, Muriel. And just for everyone to know, the technique that we used for the first caller about acknowledging and accepting what we're feeling is from ConsciousTransformation.com. So check that out.
ConsciousTransformation.com. Wonderful. Thank you very much for that, Oakley.
Yeah. Thank you.
Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.